Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
So it's not a sin in your church to have an abortion?
That's the kind of conversation we would have, finding out your story, where you're from. God's the judge. People have to live to their own conviction.
The science is clear. The Bible is clear. And if we're honest, our intuitions are clear. We know what we're killing. We're killing a human being.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hello.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here! Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. Hello! What have you discovered that is wretched? Would you kindly turn it over? Send it to idea@wretched.org. You can also text your opinion of the Three Stooges. Who doesn't like the Three Stooges?
I don't know.
Who does not like the Three Stooges? We kind of had that banter. Hello, 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 hello. And then there's Laurel and Hardy.
Never watched it.
What?
Yeah, didn't. I never did, but I know that.
Crossing the bridge with the piano, getting it down the stair. Are you kidding me?
And didn't.
In the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia. Never, you've never any of this?
Uh-uh, no.
Oh, dude.
But I know I'm going to go home and find, I got for Christmas one year, a big, massive Three Stooges DVD box set from my parents.
And you haven't opened it?
No, I have, but I haven't watched it in years. I'm going to this week. I've got to find a DVD player, though, first.
Oh, wow. We can loan you one of ours. We have a number of those. 877-282-2337.
All right, we start with a clarification, Todd. If you remember earlier this week, you asked me what ghee was.
Oh, that was that, because that's the mixture of the Hindu thing.
John wrote in to tell us that it wasn't what Kung Fu fighters wear, but actually what.
Well, it is.
Yeah.
But not in that concoction.
He said it's clarified butter.
Of course it is. So it's at the Hindu temple. They don't want anybody who's not a Hindu to come into the temple. And so they've got this beverage all from cow products. Mm-hmm. The butter thing, and including the cow urine. Mm-hmm. And that'll just keep the phonies out, because only a good Hindu would want to consume that. Yeah. Yeah, that sentence actually made sense, really. 87, thank you for the clarification.
Thanks, John.
Ghee is butter.
Yep.
What kind of butter?
Clarified butter.
Well, what does that mean?
I don't know.
We need clarity on clarified butter.
I'll look it up.
All righty. 877-282-2337.
This is a text from Anonymous. Todd, are there any reasons at all to cut off parents?
Yeah, I hate to say the quick answer, which is yes, because that would seem to put an imprimatur, if I possess such a thing, on the world, which is cut them off, get rid of those parents, ghost those toxic people. That's just a pernicious trend that I think we Christians, as a rule, need to eschew. But there can, of course, be times, whether it's a parent or anybody else, where it reaches such an egregious level that is harmful to you spiritually, certainly physically, that it can reach that level, but that the Christian attitude isn't to cut people off immediately. The Christian attitude is to persevere, to grow in long suffering, to minister to the party if they are behaving poorly. That, so we're slow to do that, because challenging parents are for our good, just like challenging teenagers, which is actually redundant. And so we don't cut off quickly, but there can come a point when, after a series of communications with said parents, pointing out what the issues are, asking them to stop, helping them to stop them, affording a little grace if they have been doing really well for a little bit and they slip up, and that we persevere with one another so that we all grow in godliness. So short answer, yes. Longer answer, don't be lickety-split quick to do it. You will be cutting off your nose to spite your face, and you will be really wounding your parents. Be patient, mom and dad. Be patient with your kids. And together, we all grow in fruit of the Spirit. 877-282-2337.
Clarified butter is butter that has been purified down to its essential fat with the water and milk solids removed.
That sounds... Is that would almost be... Is that similar to Irish butter? Because there's more fat in Irish butter. Same thing, I think, with French butter. But for some reason, I like Irish butter better. And I know the reason why, because they sell it at Costco. That means it's a lot cheaper. So that's got a higher fat content in it.
It says the ghee is cooked a bit longer, so the milk solids are brown, giving it a deeper nutty flavor.
Hmm. I think I'd try that. But not in that concoction. Thank you very much.
All right, this next question is from Anonymous. Todd, a friend of mine who is a Canadian citizen and part of the British Commonwealth is being knighted by King Charles. He will have to kneel to be knighted with the sword. Is that acceptable as a Christian?
What does it mean to kneel?
Mm-hmm.
Is it to show honor to the king? Sure, you can do that because we're actually commanded to do that. And as long as it isn't some sort of obeisance that indicates divinity, I think a physical gesture of honoring, I think you can bow to somebody if they are an authority over you. Different countries will have different customs that dictate how we go about expressing that reverential attitude. But I don't think that you're sinning in doing that unless there's something connected to it. If there's something that says, hey, you've got to come in and kiss the ring because he's divine and you're mortal. Well, nope, sorry, can't do that. But if it's just a deference issue, I don't think that's an issue. Do you, Jimmy?
I don't think so.
Yeah. So kneel on and congratulations on the knighthood. This speech by the...
And Todd, you're sleeping again.
Ah, sorry. Just think of it. Knocks me out. 877-282-2337.
Todd, this is from Anonymous. Todd, what do you say to those who say we have the power to cast out demons in Jesus' name?
I say that the Bible doesn't give us permission or authority to do that. The way to get rid of a demon is by having the Holy Spirit indwell an individual. Then the demon has to flee. But we don't have a magic formula. There isn't an incantation that we can use. We don't have special powers that can cast out demons. That was given to the disciples. It was an early church. It was a testimony of the authentication of their message. And so we just don't have that ability. Furthermore, you don't want to be messing with demons. Ask Jude, who said even the archangel Michael, he doesn't bring slinging accusations. It's like, you better watch out. He's a roaring lion. You don't mess with the devil. Instead, you preach the gospel to the person who appears to be possessed by a demon, and we let the Holy Spirit perform that exorcism. 877-282-23. I do understand the appeal to it, though, because if you've noticed, it's been a trend in evangelicalism, varying degrees. The casting out of demons, spiritual warfare. We like that because it kind of like lets us participate in spiritual things, we think, in a way that gives us power. But that's just not the power that the Bible gives to us. Instead, we submit to God, the evil one flees. We proclaim the gospel as we're supposed to anyway, and the evil one will flee. Ask the seven sons of Sceva how it worked out when they tried to exorcise some demons. You don't want to be messing with demons. 877-282-2337.
This is from Joe. Todd, can you be a Christian and not fear God?
I don't know how, but we have to define fear rightly. I think that anybody who understands even in the smallest amount the character and the nature of God, furthermore, I think it's kind of built into our DNA. When somebody is bigger, stronger, there should automatically be at least some degree of fear. Now, you have to define what that fear is. Is it terroristic, like, yeah, or is it something that's reverential? I think that the pagan should be absolutely, utterly horrified at the thought of coming face to face with God. The believer probably initially had a fear of God because the fear of damnation, it is real, and to not have some sort of response to that would indicate that maybe you're not understanding your sin or actually recognizing and acknowledging that God exists. But once saved, we still maintain a reverential fear because we remember that God is otherly. He's different, he's bigger, he's stronger, and he's a consuming fire. So the beginning of wisdom being the fear of the Lord, I don't know how a Christian cannot have a proper fear of God. It's different perhaps than the original fear, but there still should be a reverential fear. And incidentally, Jimmy, I don't know if you realize this, but at Alpharetta Bible Church, we're in 1 Peter.
1 Peter.
Yeah.
Wow.
And there's the theme of fear is regularly repeated in 1 Peter when he's talking about submission, that you do it with fear. It's actually, it's not an imperative, it's a participle, which indicates that your disposition is one of reverence. Now, the question is, at whom is that reverence aimed? And the answer is not at man. We do not fear men. Do not fear them. I think Peter said that in like 1 Peter 3. We don't fear them. You fear God. Fear God. And that then dictates your ability to submit to authorities. It dictates how you interact with people. It dictates your morality. It dictates your decisions. It dictates your direction in life. Our orientation is one of reverential fear of God, and that man, it's not the imperative, it's the defining motivation, if you will, not the only one, but it's a defining motivation to doing that which is right. So can a Christian not fear the Lord? Probably want to talk to that person, but on the face of it, I would say, I don't know how that could actually work. This is Wretched Radio.
No retreat. That's the name of Fortis Institute's Spring Match campaign. And here's why. The culture we live in right now has made it pretty clear it has very little interest in the true gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're being told to keep our faith quiet in public or to soften what we believe so it goes down easier. Fortis Institute has no intention of doing either one. We exist to advance the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this spring, we're doing it as loudly and as boldly as we know how. Your gift will help launch two new podcasts. It puts Todd Free Bill's new book, Go Serve Your King, into print through HarperCollins. And it puts the gospel back onto college campuses where it's least welcome and most needed. Our goal is $250,000, and we're asking if you would prayerfully consider helping us get there. You can find out more right now at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
369 million. That's how many people are a part of the New Apostolic Reformation movement. And if you've never heard of it, that's part of the problem. Maybe you have heard of Jesus culture. Maybe your teenager listens to their worship music. Maybe your church sings their songs on Sunday morning. But you don't know what they actually teach and where it leads. Drunk in the Spirit pulls back the curtain on one of the most destructive forces in Christianity today. Who are these people? What do they believe? And why should it matter to your family and your local church? This isn't fear-mongering, it's education, because you can't guard against something you don't recognize, and this movement has tentacles in places you wouldn't expect. If you care about protecting your family and your church from false teaching that sounds Christ-centered, but it's not, this is essential. Drunk in the Spirit, it is streaming now for free on Fortis Plus. Download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 1948, the World Council of Churches is formed as an interdenominational body promoting Christian unity and presence in society. Modern ecumenism saw differing denominations work together in spiritual and social causes, but also resulted in the watering down of Christian doctrine. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And a hearty nyuk, nyuk, nyuk to you. This is Wretched Radio. The Curly Shuffle.
When me and my friends go out in the town, we can't sit still, we can't sit down. We don't like to fight and we don't like to scuffle, but we dance all night doing the Curly Shuffle. Hey Mo, hey Mo.
That was a hit. Yep, that's right. That had to have been the 70s because music like that could actually go to the top of the charts. Wow, how things have changed. I got to tell you, the music today, I know it's a generational thing. It can be curmudgeonly. We were at the gym. You probably noticed. I go to the gym. There was a dude driving by and he had his the convertible thing. And he had on some sort of contemporary music and it was just dreadful. Just from a musicality standpoint, I don't even understand why it's popular these days. I guess you just have to be baked in it to appreciate it. And I know it's just generational, but it's like whatever happened to, you know, singing. You know what else I miss a ton about today's music? They don't have orchestras or strings. Everything is synth, including the singing and the structure of songs. It's just different. Not to mention, now I can't comment on the writing. I don't know if the writing is better because I just can't listen to them. But you know what? Even as I say that, I perhaps need to repent and recant everything that I just said because the Curly Shuffle was a hit in the generation that I'm describing here. So maybe rethink that. 877-282-2337.
All right, this question is from Jimmy. Todd, is the match giving campaign still happening?
Oh, Jimmy, with the is the thing. Well, aren't you a pal? Well, as a matter of fact, Jimmy, it is. And if you visit fortisinstitute.org/donate, you can learn the details of, and it's not all, it's plenty. I think to for you to see, whoa, these people have some stuff that they're planning on doing. It ain't nowhere near everything that we've got loaded in the cannon that we just can't fire quite yet. If you would please be kind enough to consider supporting us during our No Retreat match giving campaign, we would be mega, not mega, mega grateful. FortisInstitute.org/donate. And thank you for that question, Jimmy.
He said you're welcome. Mm-hmm. This question is from Matt, and it's not a conspiracy. It's not the Matt down the hall. But
I was going to say,
Todd, if a man...
What does he want? Something for social media, I suspect.
Yeah, no, this isn't Matt. That Matt. But this Matt says, Todd, if a man has a wife who may not be a Christian, should he become a deacon or elder?
Wow. Wow. That's a good one, that. I think that there's two answers, but I think that there's two conservative answers to this. I think that some would say it's okay because he has to be qualified. I think the even more conservative answer would say, if you believe that the attributes that an elder must possess, which is one who can manage his household well, if that applies to the deacon, then that would probably fall underneath it. That the wife is saved. Having said that, there can be details in history that make things complex. Okay, when they got married, they were both pagans. This guy gets saved. Well, he can't make his wife become a Christian. So would that be a disqualifier? All that to say, I think that if a church said no, I would respect that. If a church said yes because of the backstory, I would respect that too. Jimmy, would you fall either side on either side of that?
I was going to say exactly what you just said.
No, you were not.
I was going to say it's up to the individual church, I think, to dive more into the specificities of the situation.
Yeah, there's always going to be that. And in this instance, I think that those details are important because they could color the decision-making process. So I would be more inclined. I think that I would be deferential. As long as it's being done in a thoughtful and prayerful way, if you can think of a Bible verse that would say, no, the deacon's wife has to be saved, then please send it to idea@wretched.org, or you can text it to Jimmy at 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Mr. John. He texts in, Todd, Jesus tells us there is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. But isn't this a kind of work? I'm saved by God's grace alone, but if I still need to repent whenever I fail anew, am I still doing something?
Well, that was actually two questions there. Ongoing repentance is the lifestyle of the Christian. And to say it's a relational issue. If you're in a family and you do something wrong, you sin against somebody, you don't just say, well, I'm in the family and I'm forgiven, so I don't say anything, I don't do anything. No, it's in a family dynamic, it's a restorative act that keeps the relationship close. And it's the right thing to do, to repent in real time. But that's different than repentance unto salvation. That one-time act of turning, that one time where you realize, I am totally undone. I'm a depraved sinner who is fully deserving of God's temporal and eternal punishment. You're sorry for your sins, and you place your faith in Jesus Christ. Now you say, is that a work? And the answer is a definitive, absolutely not. Because first of all, it's not actually a work. Repentance isn't a work. It's a right response. Repentance isn't doing something. Repentance is stopping doing something. That's not a work. Furthermore, we understand that repentance isn't about perfection. It is about a new heart attitude that says, I don't want to do that anymore, and I'm heartily sorry for my sins, and I repent of my sins. It's not a work. An illustration would be helpful. If a man commits adultery, and he genuinely wants to be reconciled to his wife, and he rings the doorbell, you're the next door neighbor watching through your window at this scene that's about to unfold. The wife opens up the door and the man tearfully falls to his knees. Honey, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I'll never do that again. Take me back, please, take me back. And she does. Would you look through your window and go, yep, he earned that. Yep, he definitely deserved that. You go, no, that was the right response. She granted mercy. Repentance is not a work. Speaking of which, we do have a resource that's going to be coming out. I'm not exactly sure when. Oh, you know what though? I think in Terrified 2, we have, I think that those illustrations to demonstrate why repentance isn't a work. I think I've got like 3, 4, 5 different illustrations that support that repentance is not earning God's favor. It's the other side of the coin of faith. They're one of this. You can't have faith if you don't repent. You got to turn from your former belief to your new belief. Would anybody say that's a work? No, faith isn't a work. Furthermore, repentance and faith, they're both gifts of God. So no matter how you slice that bread, it is not a work. You can find those illustrations if they're helpful. On Terrified 2, you can go to the Fortis Plus app. It's free. Everything there is free. Jimmy, we need to change the name. Because the Fortis Plus thing indicates you got to pay. You don't have to pay. And then we're going to be producing. In fact, it's being worked on as we speak. We filmed pretty much everything we did when we were down at a campus 4 weeks ago when we went to Georgia Tech. And I got to spend some time with the students, the ministry leaders, talking about this very subject. And then took it to the campus and tried to execute it. We're going to turn that into kind of a long form sort of documentary. And we're going to be releasing that. You can use it at home, Sunday school, you can watch. And by the way, don't forget that all the stuff on the Fortis app, and there's thousands of hours. You can also get that on your Roku and Amazon Fire and all whatever, where just download the app and you can watch it on your TV. There is tons of stuff. And I'm telling you, it's better than most of the garbage that is out there. It is just, it's like, okay, date night. Let's go sit on the couch. Hunker down, honey. We got some popcorn. Let's watch something. Click, 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 click. Is anything good out there? And furthermore, why don't they put the rating of the show on the little thumbnail? That would be nice, because some of us aren't interested in your R-rated movies. Quit showing them to us. We just want the stuff that isn't disgusting. You will never get anything disgusting. Well, not in that sense. With the Fortis app, you can download it onto your TV thingy-majig. I don't want to get too technical here, but it's available there. 877-282-2337.
This is from Anonymous. Todd, how can I biblically handle the conversation with someone who always begins to argue every time we talk?
Go. Read the Proverbs. Sometimes people like that need to be avoided. I didn't say cut out of your life, but sometimes if you're just constantly wrangling, they're a fool who doesn't listen. Then you are a fool by participating in a conversation with a fool who never listens. In other words, you don't waste your time and it's going to make you nuts. It's probably not going to lead anywhere healthy in the relationship. Somebody who is like that, they just want to argue everything. They are a fool. I didn't say that you can't be friends with them, but use discretion, because you're just going to drive yourself bonkers with somebody like that. And that, by the way, is really all of our, we all have that propensity, don't we, to defend ourselves? Sometimes when somebody always, though, has to be right, pride is almost always the foundation of it. Because I want to show you, you don't know something I don't. I see everything the right way. You see everything the wrong way. That's just really, 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 really prideful. And sometimes with people like that, you just have to limit your exposure. This is Wretched Radio.